Genius.
I'd like to welcome you to ING, where we try to learn something about everything. The where, when, what, why of the world, and how I see it. I question everything, because I'm no genius.
So I promised that this episode would get me in trouble. And it's about to. So, welcome. Welcome to this episode. Episode number 45. That's a lot of episodes. It's not very many, but it's enough. It's enough to make me happy with where this podcast is headed and what it's been about so far and where it's going from here. So this one, like I said, I promised it would get me in trouble and it will. This one is on abortion. So enough flirting with the topic and the issue, let's move into it. Let's dive into it right now. Or actually, I think it might be better if I play this clip that... Let me fix what happened in the last episode, because when I posted it to my No Agenda social media account, I put the caption, "This should not have been recorded." And I put that for a reason. The reason was, even though I came to the show with notes and with highlights all over a PDF and all sorts of good stuff, I just was not ready to record it. But I did anyway, and I uploaded it anyway because it was just too long to not put out there. So I want to fix that, at least a little bit. I want to fix that by using this one audio clip that could have been the entire episode and making a final statement. So I'll play this, and then we'll make that final statement.
You believe in lies. Well, people should just let me believe in my lies then. Go away.
The idea is as simple as it needs to be. Just everyone has their own lies, per se, that they believe in, and I should just be allowed to believe my own. I mean, it doesn't have any bearing on anything that you deal with in the real world. I don't know what job application has ever asked you if you were heliocentric or geocentric, so that's good enough to not need to even worry. This is something that you can have a legitimate opinion on that's your own and not have to worry about what someone might think of whenever you let them know. This is one of those things. You know, this isn't like saying that the earth is flat, and even then, that's not the biggest deal either. I mean, it kind of gets in the way if you're going to be a pilot, because everything that a pilot uses as far as mathematical is based, or a topographer, a guy who makes maps, every tool that you use, every piece of math that you use, every, what would you call it? Not a function. Every equation is based on a spherical earth, not a flat earth, because the easiest example I can give you is the fact that if you're trying to do lay out a triangle in a very large surface area. Whenever you do geometry in high school, they teach you that a triangle always adds up to 180 degrees. Well, if you draw a triangle out on a surface larger than that, like the Earth, then you get over 180 degrees because the curvature of the Earth adds up to more than 180 degrees because it's three-dimensional. And a flat Earth wouldn't have that issue. So there's that. But continuing on, because that is all I wanted to say about the topic from last episode, so moving on to this one. And I wrote this one out specifically because I thought deeper about it and had better thoughts than what would just come off the top of my brain. So I'm going to read this off. So if it sounds a little bit robotic compared to what has already been said, that's why. But here we go. First point. All abortions performed can be boiled down to one underlying reason. That reason being, they're inconvenient. The abortions are, but the pregnancy is inconvenient. And that word is going to come up a lot through this episode. That is the entire reason for this episode. So, we're going to get into some definitions. And now I looked up the definition from definition of the word inconvenience from three different dictionaries. The first one that I love to use is the 1828 Webster's, because we can go as far back as we can to try and find the original definition of words, because words change over time, and I'd like to get the oldest and one of the most modern for comparison. So, the 1828 definition of inconvenience. Number one, unfitness, unsuitableness, inexpedience. They plead against the inconvenience, not the unlawfulness of popish apparel. Number two, that which gives trouble or uneasiness, disadvantage, anything that disturbs quiet, impedes prosperity, or increases the difficulty of action or success. Rain and bad roads are inconveniences to the traveler. Want of utensils is a great inconvenience to a family. But the great inconvenience of human life is the want of money and the means of obtaining it. That's the 1828, and you can tell just by the language of the definition that it's kind of outdated. I mean, the word want is basically the word need nowadays, where the need of something versus the want of something, like where it says the want of utensils, the need of utensils, and even utensils isn't used much nowadays, except for in really a school setting, and it's not used for the same reason as it was back in the day. It's just cool. Moving on. Dictionary.com. Not easily accessible or at hand. The phone is in an inconvenient place. Inopportune or untimely. And I like that one. I'll make that point later. An inconvenient time for a visit. Not suiting one's needs or purposes. I apologize. The house has an inconvenient floor plan. And notice how these definitions make the word inconvenience seem like it's meant for trivial things. Like it's just meant for something as simple as, well, your phone is in a place that you don't want it to be. Or the house plan just doesn't seem laid out the way I would want it to be. It doesn't seem like it's used for a very serious situation. We'll say it that way. Moving on. The Oxford Dictionary. Causing trouble or problems, especially in connection with what you need or would like yourself. With what you need or would like yourself, I guess. An inconvenient time or place. That's most inconvenient for me. I'm working that weekend. So just like I said, it's meant for trivial matters in the dictionary definition. Now, the 1828 actually made it a little bit more serious because of that last one, the want of utensils is a great inconvenience to a family. Now, the 1828, the image I have of the word utensils would mean things to eat food with or prepare food with. I mean, that is a very, very great inconvenience for a family if you can't prepare food for that said family. The want of money and the means of obtaining it. I mean, we can go to a very extreme example with this and just say someone who's a paraplegic who can't even apply for Social Security or unemployment benefits. That's a big, big inconvenience. And I'm not using that word in the modern term. I'll give you something as far as what I believe the definition of inconvenience. I'll just get into the next point. The definitions of inconvenience seem to make light of an inconvenient situation. Situations of something that would slightly change your daily routine or would disrupt your workflow. And that's what the definitions of these dictionaries of this word seem to be conveying, that it's just a slight change in your daily routine. But it applies to situations that are more melancholy. Major setbacks. A right hook that would incapacitate you, literally. I like the second definition from the 1828 that gives... Here's the definition. That which gives trouble or uneasiness, disadvantage, anything that disturbs quiet, impedes prosperity, or increases the difficulty of action or success. And, this is kind of a coincidence, but the second definition from dictionary.com, both of them use the second definition in a much harsher way, I guess, which is inopportune and untimely. And untimely is a very good word for an unwanted pregnancy. So I'm gonna give some examples as to why I believe what I believe. So this is what I wrote down. I'll give three situations as to why someone would get an abortion or even contemplate it. And they will be gross generalizations that overlook the mass amount of real life situations, but they will be three that support my statement. And as biased as that sounds, it is what it is. I'm entitled to my own opinion because I am defending it, not just because I have an opinion. So situation number one, and I actually wrote this out as if it was some sort of synopsis of a thriller or a novel. So let's move forward. So a woman is accelerating at amazing speeds up the ladder of her chosen career path, shattering multiple proverbial glass ceilings, making strides that leave even already successful women in awe. She isn't reckless with her sexual life by worldly standards. She chooses partners like she chooses her next leased vehicle, meticulously. But as we all know, life isn't perfect, and plans are disrupted all the time. In our main character's case, these inconveniences are usually a mistake on the coffee order, a client stands her up, or the fine print on her lease stipulates an oil change every 2 months instead of three. All this makes the unexpected pregnancy that much more real and daunting. She is aware of who the father of the child is, but that doesn't change the fact that the pregnancy is a massive inconvenience to her ever-changing, advancing, and improving life. Moving on to situation number two. A single mother of three is struggling to make ends meet. When she was a child, she dreamt of having a standard nuclear family life. Married, two, maybe three children, a loving husband, a house in the suburbs, two modern vehicles, and a budget that allowed for a 2 to 3 week vacation at least once a year. But somewhere along the way, Murphy stepped into her life and caused one bad decision to snowball into the current situation she finds herself in. Single, struggling, and pregnant with her fourth child. The father of the first two children was abusive. The father of the third child tried his best, but the heroin was too car. Man, I'm trying to make this sound so serious, but that I wish I could edit this in post, but I don't have time for that because I don't. Let's try and bring the emotion back. The father of the first two children was abusive. The father of the third child tried his best, but the heroin was too hard to kick. And as for the fourth father, well, we aren't sure who he is. She doesn't judge herself for the lives that the fathers chose to lead, but she does blame herself for not being able to find her children a solid father figure to ensure that they don't end up as just another statistic. Dropouts, drug addicts, future divorcees. Her situation is what anyone looking at the two definitions I highlighted above would call inconvenient. Moving on to the last situation, situation number three. A happily married woman is living in an upper middle class home with her husband and two children. Her life is standard, but very rewarding. Her children look up to her and her husband as their heroes, at least at this stage in their development. She finds great comfort in her emergency savings fund that would support her family for the next 6 months if any sort of accident befell her husband. By all measures, she was secure in her current living situation. Her husband had planned with her to upgrade their 3-bed, 2-bath home and move to a more rural location, at which point they could think deeper about continuing to grow their family size to 3, maybe 4 children. But that wouldn't be until their current living situation, or their living situation in general, could support 3 to 4 children. She finds herself pregnant before they're even halfway through their savings goal for the new home. They find themselves in what we would call, at least by the definitions listed above, an inconvenient situation. Now, although the statement, all abortions happen out of inconvenience, seems misogynistic, ignorant, and arrogant, by the definition alone, the dictionary definition alone, the statement is accurate. And in my opinion, based on my readings, it's indisputable, the statement. Now, I'm not saying that there aren't other factors that play into the decision, which is a hard and very polarizing decision, even for the mother, which is a fact that many people seem to overlook because of the nature of the action taken. But I am saying that the root of the decision can be boiled down to one word, and that word is inconvenience, and that is my belief. Now, I am pro-biblical living, meaning, like, I would say I'm pro-life, but I'm more pro-biblical living because the pro-life movement isn't it's not the best ideal. Like, the perfect ideal is also the perfect judge, and the pro-life movement is just not the perfect ideal and not a perfect judge either. But moving on. And the act of abortion goes against my core beliefs as a Bible believer. Now, we can get into all of the supposed hypocrisy of being a strict Bible believer in a separate episode, but for now, we're focusing on this topic and what I believe is the root of it. Now, I've beaten this, I wrote deceased horse for too long now, so I'll leave this episode here and call it done, because that's pretty much all that I needed to hash out here, because I wrote it out, and I had this thought for a while. Now, I tried to figure out, I like to find the core issues of certain subjects. Like, you'll hear people say that, oh, America's divided and people just don't love each other anymore and we need to get back to loving each other. Well, yeah, that's a no-brainer. Like, who doesn't understand that you need to show more love? Who doesn't understand that you need to be more compassionate to your fellow man? But what's the root? Why did you ever stop? You know, like, whatever caused you to think that you were too good to give that love to someone, or what did that other someone do to not deserve the love that you'd like to give? Like, I remember someone saying that, well, we should respect everyone. And this wasn't someone to me. This was on a YouTube video, and it was to Jordan Peterson. And this some person said, well, we should respect everyone. And his response was just epic, as usual. His response was, well, why? Why do you think you deserve my respect? Respect isn't something that you just dish out willy-nilly. So it has to be earned. You can't just expect that people should go around respecting everyone. That's not how it works. If you respect everyone, you respect no one, because respect is something that puts someone on a higher level of status than someone else. And if you respect everyone equally, or even just give everyone respect, well, then it's meaningless. But whatever. The point is, I think that I got to the root of the abortion situation. Now, I understand that the examples I give, except for the second one was a little bit more on the darker end, not even very, because it can get a lot darker than that. And we can get into the whole theory, or not theory, it's not theory. The whole very small number of cases that are from rape and incest. Now, I'm not saying that rape and incest are okay or something that should be glossed over because it's a small number. One is too much. I get that. Trust me, I do. Just because I made this episode doesn't mean that I don't understand or empathize. But the point that I'm trying to make here is, just because there's a situation of rape or incest does not mean that we need to be punishing the mother who will suffer from the abortion. Because I forgot the statistics, so I'm not going to throw it out there, but there is a large number of complications that come from the abortion itself. You know, let alone a child being murdered. You know, and then why would we punish the child? Whether you want to call it a clump of cells or not, that clump of cells has the prospect of becoming a human. It's not like a cancerous body that will kill you, because I heard someone in real life tell me that there's no difference between a clump of cells that's going to become a child and cancer. And I had some harsh things that I wanted to say, but I didn't. One, because I don't like conflict. I don't like getting confrontational, which I shouldn't have that issue when it comes to something like this, but that's just me and the way that I am personally, with my personality. Either way, I'm going into a rabbit trail here. I thought that I would end it, and I said I would, but let me see. What's my next note say? All right, here, I'll just read this. I said in the last episode that this one would get me in trouble, and I believe that it won't be just a little bit, but hey, this is my view, and I'm putting it in words that I believe are clear and explicit. I hope that if and when I get pushback for my view, that the pushback would be done, and I want to make this as clear as possible, because by the time this goes up in the internet, I can't take it back. I hope that when I do get the pushback, that said pushback would be done with an air of intellectual debate rather than emotional attack. And I want to make that clear, because I feel like we can have a rational debate about this without people getting emotional and saying that, oh, I got raped, or oh, my sister got raped, or I had an abortion, or my sister, or whoever. and then emotion gets attached to it. We don't need to get personal or emotional with it. We can just use solid reason to understand why I've come to my decision and why you believe the way you do. So that's it for this one. The next one that I have planned is going to require a little bit more study because I can't just go into one Wikipedia article for this. I'm going to go to Wikipedia and, well, I'm probably going to use Everipedia because Wikipedia just seems to be not very, not like the organization I want to support anymore. So I'm going to go to Everipedia, which is just a fork of Wikipedia made by the founder that was kicked out because his views didn't align with the other original founder. So he got shoved out, started his own, and I find that they're a little bit way too focused on where Bitcoin is going or cryptocurrencies in general. That's their main focus, and it's on their homepage a lot. But hey, if you're into knowing more about cryptocurrencies, I would check out Everipedia because they have a lot of featured articles on the topic and really Bitcoin cryptocurrency in general, not just the markets, but really everything about it. So if that's what you want to do, check that out. But what the next one will be about, that I'm going to have to do a lot more research than just the Everipedia search. And I'll put the link to that website because I'm saying it, but the way I speak, my mouth doesn't enunciate very well. So I'll put that in there. It's Everipedia, like every, but instead of the Y, it's an I and then pedia, but I'll put that in the notes. But the next episode will be on two things. Oh, actually maybe three, but the third one might have its own episode. It's going to be on neuro-linguistic programming and mentalism, or mentalists in general. And the third one would probably be MK Ultra and mind control, but that might be its own. And I'm not going to get like exhaustive into it, like, oh my goodness, this is how you perform neuro-linguistic programming, or this is the step-by-step instructions to mentalism, or this is exactly how someone could be programmed with MKUltra. I'm not even going to get into a lot of the theories about how it's being used. I'm just going to go into the history of it a bit so that way I can educate myself on the topic. This whole idea behind my podcast and the format of it currently is that I'm going to be learning things because I'm going to question their merits out of the gate, and then I'm going to learn about it, educate myself, and have at least a solid enough understanding of the topic to be able to have semi-intellectual conversations with people who are way more knowledgeable than I on the topic, but have enough to keep the conversation interesting as we go. And that's actually a very powerful tool that can get you a lot of friends. Just knowing a little bit about their favorite topic will allow them to continue talking about their favorite topic and make very good friends with the person who's somewhat interested because they know just a little bit but want to know more. That can help you in that regard, and just to have that basic knowledge. It really gives you a good solid knowledge base that you can make links to when you see certain things. It's a very handy tool to have. So that's the end of this one. Yeah. I'll catch you in the next one.
Can my podcast give me 5 stars?